And for our first segment, last Saturday was the second annual March for Science Nationwide. WOOC correspondent Mark Dunley, that's me, filed this report from the march in Albany at the state capitol. Saturday, April 14th, was the second annual March for Science across the planet. There were 230 events held, and while smaller than last year, the groups were still very concerned about the need to hold public officials accountable for making policy based on scientific evidence. WOOC talked to several of the organizations who were tabling at the March for Science event at the state capitol in Albany. So we're at the Science March at the state capitol, and we're talking to Betty Head, who is here with the people of Albany United for Safe Energy. Why is a group like PAWS participating in the Science March?
Well, we think it's very important that as many people get out here in the public, in this square. We're in Capitol Park West, and we want to raise the consciousness of the public about how important it is to push for renewable energy to power places like the South Mall. Governor Cuomo wants to use fracked gas to power the South Mall, and we don't think that's a good idea at all. And so we're asking people, when we meet them as they come by our table today at this rally, to come and join their voices with us to encourage Governor Cuomo to adopt the plan of using renewable energy to power the Empire State Plaza instead of using fracked gas from Pennsylvania, which we know is very bad for emissions and just increases the CO2 and the methane in the atmosphere.
Well, of course, we hear a lot about the, you know, Trump administration being anti-science, particularly on climate change and environmental issues. Does the Cuomo administration actually, are they willing to really delve into the science of, say, things like renewable energy and toxic waste?
Well, I think there's no time like the present, and if they haven't been doing that, then they need to hurry up and do it. I think that Cuomo could be a real leader in pushing for renewables, certainly not just for the city of Albany here, because we're talking about Sheridan Hollow, but I think this comes down to taxes, too, because in the end, we are going to have to pay a horrific price for increased methane in the atmosphere. And what that does, of course, is just contribute to more violent storms. It contributes to the terrible drought and the heat, the increase in those that we've been experiencing, and floods and extreme winters and extreme summers. So climate change is something that's been with us now for a number of years, and we need to turn this boat around. We don't have any time to waste.
And that was Betty Head with People of Albany United for Safe Energy.
So I'm Siobhan Burke. I'm with Clean and Healthy New York. And we're here today to raise awareness about toxic chemicals in the products that we use every day, and especially that kids use every day. And we wanted to let folks know that we're having an educational workshop and advocacy day called the What's In There Advocacy Day on Tuesday, April 24th, where they can actually come learn about this issue, learn about the toxics that we're exposed to every day in products, and then come on down to the Capitol with us and speak out. We're going to meet with legislators and call for policies requiring disclosure and phase out of toxics in products.
So what are some of the health problems that are caused by plastic in products?
Well, toxic chemicals in plastics and also heavy metals actually have been linked to learning disabilities, cancer, respiratory and heart disease. And, you know, it's an issue that I think the public is really gaining awareness of. And we're starting to see a real push for people to be able to know what's in the products we're using. At the very least, we need full disclosure. And, you know, we really have a lot of hope for where we're going to be headed in the next couple years, with New York stepping forward as a leader on this issue, requiring disclosure of toxics in household cleaning products and personal care products. That's the direction we're moving in.
And if people wanted to get more information about this issue, how best can they do that?
They can check out cleanhealthyny.org, and they can register for the What's In There Advocacy Day at bit.ly/AP24REG.
Thank you very much.
My name is Melissa. I'm with Siena College's Environmental Science Program. So today we have some information about invasive species that are common in New York State. And invasive species are...
invasive, I guess, and probably not good for a lot of existing animals and other insects that are there, or plants.
Yeah, and they come in from other places, and what happens is that they're so much better sometimes than the native species at acquiring resources, food, space, water. And what will happen is they'll take over a lot of the space that the native species need to survive, and so they'll start killing out the native species. And what will happen is you'll have just huge, huge amounts of these invasive species, and they... take away from the native species that were always here. Do you want to talk? Can you talk?
And so one question I would have is, you know, how does climate change and global warming, how does that impact upon invasive species?
Well, with the changing climate, what happens is there's a lot of movement with plants and animals to a new climate that might resemble some of, like, part of their old climate. So as the climates change, maybe certain plants are more suited to a certain environment, and there have been studies that have shown that some invasive species are actually thriving as climate change progresses.
And so we have another Siena College student. So your name and you know, what are your concerns about science and how it's treated under the present political climate? Or why are you here?
My name is Christina. I'm also a Siena College environmental student. I'm concerned about some of the climate change laws because Melissa explained how climate change can catalyze the impact that invasive species have on native ecosystems around the area. And President Trump
isn't acknowledging the reality of climate change and the science-based evidence that does back up the fact that climate change is real and it's happening and it's human-caused.
My name's Katie Hedela Henschel. I work for the Xerces Society.
And your key issue, I noticed you have the Bumblebee Watch on your table today.
Yeah, so Bumblebee Watch is a new citizen science effort that we started at the Xerces Society in collaboration with others. And it's to get people out and taking pictures of bees. Our bumblebees, many bumblebee species are experiencing decline. So we're trying to get people involved and take pictures and submit them on an online platform. And then we can identify them and see where they're present, where they're absent, Yeah.
And so why do you think we need to have a science march?
I think raising awareness about all of the important work we're doing. We have a lot of information, and getting the word out there and getting people involved is the best way to protect the habitats and the ecosystem and conservation efforts in general.
Now, I think most people are aware that bees have been declining, I guess, particularly the pollinator bees, and there's been a lot of different theories about why that's occurring. Has there been any general agreement yet as to what needs to be done to protect the bees?
Yeah, I think you're right. Bees are declining for multiple reasons, and that's disease and parasites and pesticide use and habitat loss. So the general consensus would be creating habitat that has different pollinator plants and creating a space that is pesticide free to better their survival.
Thank you, Katie.
That was WOOC correspondent Mark Dunley covering last Saturday's Science March at the State Capitol.